Welcome to Bookwaves. I'm Richard Walensky. My guest is Orhan Pamuk, whose latest novel is A Strangeness in My Mind. Earlier books include The Museum of Innocence, Snow, My Name is Red, Istanbul. This is the 12th book, won the Nobel Prize 2006. Istanbul is central to the book, Strangeness in My Mind. It's Istanbul as seen through the eyes of an Anatolian, poor Anatolian immigrant from 1969 to 2012, about his life, his wives, and what it's like to actually be living in Istanbul as a poor person during those years. What was the origin of this particular book? I know that most of your books have dealt with a different class, and this may be the first book that really focuses on the lower classes. What brought you to this book?
Strangeness in My Mind is the story of a street vendor, Mevlut Karataş, who sells yogurt in the mornings and boza, a slightly fermented Ottoman Turkish beverage, at night. And I started this as a sort of a short novel or a novella about a person who loses his job because of modernity. Because in my childhood, yogurt was sold by street vendors. It was not even bottled yet in 50s and 60s. And I wanted to see my city, Istanbul, through the eyes of street vendors, people who wait in the restaurants, people who do little petty jobs, and tell the story of the town and its modernization and its immense economical growth in the last 15 years through the eyes of people who come to Istanbul, some of which make it there, some of which, like Mevlut, is not quite successful. As I begin to research, write for this book, obviously I am from upper middle class, although I had seen the houses that immigrants that come from Anatolia had built around my neighborhoods and all the developments of Istanbul. Although I have seen this from outside, I have not experienced this thoroughly. The book, A Strangeness in My Mind, is heavily based on interviews, dialogues that I did over years with street vendors. My mind was busy with two things: to see the street life, shops, windows, a sort of a texture of life through the eyes of a street vendor. As I begin to do interviews, talk to people, listen to hundreds of very lively, very elegant, very humane stories, I decided to make the book bigger, especially paying attention to how the immigrants came to Istanbul, built their homes with their own hands in illegal ground, how the economical development of the city, the high-rises, grew along with the modernity, the change of eating habits, the change of daily life habits, the woman's situation. So the narrator, who loves the epic, the big frescoes in me, again begin to get upset about a short novel, and I wanted to write about a sort of an epic, but a postmodern epic, a playful thing about Istanbul seen through the immigrants who came to the city from rural, poor Anatolia. But when we say immigrants, this is limited immigration, because in the end, you are in the same country, same language, same religion, more or less same culture. The culture that came from rural Anatolia also invented a sort of a new, strange, hybrid modernity in Istanbul, and I was keen to pin that down. There is a sort of a museum person, a person who wants to keep every detail of daily life, eating habits, walking habits, going to movies, buying newspapers, and getting information, police, terror, political groups, sort of ethnic cleansing of Istanbul, demographical changes, people who are coming from other parts of Turkey, from various places, from Middle East, North Africa, which is happening now. So I wanted to tell all this. The epic instinct in me was big and alive, and it is this kind of novel.
Orhan Pamuk, now that you've decided to write the epic, you tell it in two ways. You have third person, close third person of Mevlut, the main character, but you've also got these shorter segments first person from several of the people in his life. What prompted you to create that?
I did something similar in My Name is Red, suggesting a sort of a imaginary novelistic space where, not all the time, but sometimes, characters are aware of the fact that they're in a novel and talking to the reader. I'm not overdoing it, so that the joys of enjoying classical 19th century novel is valid for My Name is Red, and especially for Estrangeness in My Mind. And the reason I did this is, again, related to all these interviews I did with street vendors and dispossessed of Istanbul, and also the successful people who came to town in late 50s and 60s and 70s, who are now, some of which are extremely rich today. The book is based on my dialogues and interviews with them. And at one stage, as I was writing my 19th century Zola, Balzac kind of novel, I felt that I needed the authenticity, reality of these dialogues. So I decided to experiment a bit. Don't forget that I'm an old-fashioned postmodernist. To include in a Zola-like, Dickens-like novel, and this novel has Dickensian ambitions, to introduce a playful first-person monologues which challenge the narrative that the protagonist is telling us. These first-person narratives that I spread through the narrative are sometimes unreliable, sometimes, as James Wood says, reliably unreliable. And I like that playful mood in a novel about the poor. One of the challenges about writing this novel is to talk about the poor in a extremely non-melodramatical way. I teach a course called Art of the Novel at Columbia University, and the first thing we perhaps know with the students is that novels are about middle-class characters. Rarely lower middle-class or poor characters appear in a novel. Most of the time, they are legitimized by the look of an intellectual or a responsible, morally troubled intellectual's gaze. I did not need that gaze. I wanted to set a novel that takes place only absolutely among the lower class people, some of which at the end of the novel happens to be upper class. A novel is always for me a project, like a painting. You start from one corner, you get some humanity, you want to play it around with and develop with a big picture. Here the challenge was to develop the individuality, humanity of a lower class person, of a street vendor, as Karamazov brothers, as Tolstoy's characters. These are the novelists that I admire. As Proust would do, describe a lower class character in full humanity. That was the challenge.
Orhan Pamuk, switching the subject slightly, what exactly is boza?
Boza is a slightly fermented Ottoman drink. Its function in Turkish history is that Islam forbids alcohol, while boza is not strongly alcoholic, but if you have 3 glasses of boza, it's equal to 1 glass of beer. So Ottomans enjoyed boza thinking that they're not having alcohol. Some Ottoman sultans and rulers knew this, and the pious Ottoman rulers in disguise would go out in the streets of Istanbul and close the wine shops along with the boza shops, while others didn't care. But when Kemal Atatürk founded the modern secular Turkish Republic, alcohol was not forbidden anymore, so boza was already outmoded, while it's still popular in Turkey because it reminds us in a very romantic way the good old Ottoman times, while in the novel, still my characters, because political Islam is on the rise, because their motivations or their attachment to religion, culture, history is troubled, are discussing in a tongue-in-cheek way the alcohol in the boza in a political, playful way.
Do you like it?
Sorry?
Do you like it?
Boza is enjoyed as for its ritual, not for its taste.
What? Exactly what, I mean, you know, you've been to America. What kind of flavor is it?
Depending on where you buy it, from whom you buy it, it's sugary, sweet, nice smelling. It's sweet.
One of the key elements of A Strangeness in My Mind is the changing face of the political situation in Istanbul, which meant that sometimes leftists were scared, sometimes Islamists were scared.
On the other hand, they are not contradictory. Till recently, Turkey was very authoritarian country, and still it is, perhaps, and both right-wing Islamists and leftists and communists and socialists were repressed until 15, 20 years ago. The political situation was then, at that time, 20 years ago, from beginning the establishment of Turkish Republic till 15, 20 years ago, political culture in Turkey was very repressed and was controlled by the secular army. The dilemmas of political situation in Turkey, which I wrote about in my Snow, is that if you believe in the Western value of secularism, then it's very hard to sustain it with full democracy. If you only believe in democracy, then people may vote for, as it happened in just recent elections, political Islam or Turkish version of slightly moderate political Islam. These are the dilemmas of Turkey. If you believe in Western values, Western liberalism, then it's hard to continue to implement them in Turkey, while there are so many brave intellectuals who are trying to do it.
Mevlut comes up with this idea, and maybe it's common in Turkey, that I think a taxi driver mentions it to him, that there's both the outer perspective and then your inner perspective. And actually, you can talk about your inner perspective, but you have to be careful. Do you find that to be true?
One of the epigraphs for this book is from a Turkish columnist that I also wrote about in my novel Black Book. The gulf between the private and public views of our countrymen is evidence of the power of the state. Something which I wrote in tongue-in-cheek, because in a repressive country, it's very hard to really know what your sincere ideas are about. You have to develop a facet. This is especially true for Mevlut Karataş, my lower class character, who has to navigate between leftists and rightists, between government people and gangsters, between the rich and the poor. The idea that you have to hide your opinions so that you survive is essential to a repressive country. And more, Mevlut is one of those epic characters who go to various corners of Turkish or Istanbul society. Among the Islamists, his cousins and his uncle's family, who are extreme nationalists and don't like Kurds, while he has an Alevi, a Turkish child, Kurdish friend, who is, because he is double minority, is very radical. Mevlut navigates between various corners of Istanbul society because he does not have strong ideas and moral criteria of his own. He can get along with his leftist friends and his right-wing friends without cynicism because he's in lower class. But while he does all this, I pay attention in A Strangeness in My Mind to go over the details of his humanity, how he legitimizes the way he changes his political ideas, how he legitimizes the fact that he actually wanted to marry the sister of the woman he married and ran away with the other one by mistake. These are ideas that I care about, how to survive in a repressive society without falling into the traps of cynicism.
Orhan Pamuk, he sends letters to one sister, letters that in fact he only sometimes writes, and winds up with the other sister who he falls in love with and is very much in love with through the rest of the book. This brings up the relationship between the idea of romantic love in the West and arranged marriages in the East, and he comes right up against that.
In my novel, Snow, I refer to Turkish Statistics Institute because once upon a time they noticed that in northern eastern small town of Kars, suicide rate was higher. The same institute, some 16 years later, just 2 months ago actually, announced that 52% of marriages in Turkey are arranged marriages. While I know from my experience of life in Istanbul and Turkey that you would be embarrassed to tell your children that your marriage is arranged, so that people who are forced or introduced to each other go to a movie once, go to a pastry shop and enjoy lemonade once, to tell their children that actually they have met before. I wrote about love in Turkish, more specifically in Istanbul, in Museum of Innocence, seen through an upper class person's point of view. Here in Estranges in My Mind, I write about arranged marriages. The tradition and rhetoric of seeing a girl in a wedding, seeing her eyes, because it's not easy for men and women to be introduced, to flirt, to go out together in a Muslim society, especially if you're coming from rural Anatolia. So that Estranges in My Mind is asking these questions. What is love in a society where men and women cannot come together but can see each other? And then perhaps theorizing, suggesting that romantic love is actually about men not knowing women enough. And the angry women's voices in the book, that they are imprisoned in their houses, that they are repressed so much that their husbands are treating them as not their friends, not their partners, not their darlings, but repressing them in their daily lives. Though my character, Mevlut, is not like them, is all about love, rhetoric of love, why we need romantic love for marriage, so forth and so on. But in the end, the book is arguing that in a culture where before marriage, men and women do not get close enough, rhetoric and romance of love is not very important. What is important is the love in marriage, friendship with your partner. What I cared much attention to and tried to pin down is Mevlut, my main character's friendship with his wife. I paid close, loving attention to details of marriage life and family life of a lower class character, never trying to be melodramatic, always paying attention to Tolstoyan details that made them happy, that made them feel like a full human being, never looking them down from an upper class writer's point of view. That was the challenge for writing this book.
In terms of that challenge, what surprised you the most in your research that you wouldn't have expected, that might be different from the way you were raised in Istanbul?
I've been writing novels for the last 40 years,
right,
and it taught me to be humble. 40 years of that labor, talking to people and reinventing my experience of people, changing and reinventing, making big frames so that I can pour the humanity of people of Istanbul inside my stories. What I have learned in 40 years, that I've learned to be humble, I learned to cherish the details of every man's life, from upper class, pretentious, snobby intellectual or aristocrat to lower class Mevlut. I already knew all the architectural, economic developments that I covered in this book, even before I made the interviews. When I was finishing my interviews, I said to myself, I wish I had written this novel much, much earlier in my youth, so that I would have fully access of this hidden story of development of Istanbul through the eyes of lower class people. 40 years ago, when I started writing novels, a previous generation of uncles or friendly, well-meaning intellectual friends my father had said to me, "What? You are 23 and writing a novel? Who are you? You're a kid." Novels are about people's lives. And at that time, in my early 70s, the Borgesian intellectual in me would answer back, "Novels are not about lives. Novels are about literature." But now, 40 years later, I agree with these uncles and well-meaning earlier generation writers. Novels are, perhaps, I agree, about life. And I'm happy that I did all this research, interview, talk with the people of Istanbul, who were very forthcoming, very well-meaning, once you they understand your intention.
There were a lot of characters in mm-hmm. A Strangeness in My Mind. When you're turning real people into fiction, are they all composites or some of them slightly?
They're all composites. Yeah, okay. I never tell the story of one single person. I get the language, a detail, eloping with a girl, and what they say. In the end, stories, after a while, begin to resemble each other okay. So much that you don't want to do more interviews. Sometimes I do interviews to get the facts right, such as I interviewed the retired police chief of Taksim area in Istanbul. Right. You get all the information.
Electrical workers, too.
First, I had an introduction to hold picture with someone, then I double-check it with others. Doing interviews helps in two ways. A, you get a sort of an encyclopedic information, which is okay, which is not hard to get. B, more important that I care about, is the flavor of the voice, the color of the language, the characteristic attitude that you can never invent with your imagination. So I wanted to put the authenticity of these voices inside the novel.
It's not clear, because this is a translation I'm reading, but is there a difference in Turkish dialect?
The previous generation of socially committed Turkish writers, when they wrote about the poor in a Emile Zola fashion, they imitated the accent and wanted to give the flavor of local Anatolian small village. I don't ever do it.
One of the more fascinating elements, and of course it connects with all of your books about Istanbul, is the changing face of Istanbul. I was fascinated about these immigrants from other parts of Turkey who see an open hill and claim land and then just build houses. Did you always know about that?
Yeah, sure. It's always in the newspapers. It's always in the gossip. The things that I explored and chronicled in detail in A Strangeness in My Mind, I already knew the development of the city, how the empty land is taken by the immigrants from rural Anatolia, how the local small mafia, which later also developed politically, helped these people, and the fights of little small town mafia who are helping you to get your land, to build your home, to give you a small protection, and how these developments then change, and how high-rises today are built in those lands claimed by people who came from very poor parts of Turkey. That's why some of the characters at the end of A Strangeness in My Mind are very rich, and some of, like my Mevlut, is not that very well. But in the end, the novel is telling the development of not only Istanbul, but Turkey in the last 40 years, addressing its political problems, political Islam, cultural change, and how our characters, identity, ourselves are formed under that much stress and change.
There's a comment that occurs toward the end of the book, and I was struck by it, but I guess it's true, that difference between 1969 and 2012 is 10 million more people in Istanbul. Is that, that's a huge...
When I was born in Istanbul in 1952, it was a city of a million. Yeah. When the book starts in 1969 and my character Mevlut comes to Istanbul, it was a 2.5 million. And today they say it's 16 million. When the book ends, it was 15 million. My town, Istanbul, grew from 1 million to 15 or 16 million in my 63 years in it. I feel exceptionally privileged and happy about it, to have witnessed, to have seen a city grow that much in one's lifetime, and to live in that city is another joy. I feel obliged to tell the stories about this city. At the beginning, I didn't consider myself an Istanbul writer, but when my books begin to get internationally translated, everyone begin to rightly call me Istanbul writer, because I was only writing about the place I knew.
After reading Strangeness in My Mind, I went back and began reading your book, Istanbul, and two things struck me. First of all, the photos in the book are the photos of an Istanbul that you grew up in, that basically the Istanbul of the first half of Strangeness in My Mind. And then I keep thinking the Istanbul of today, which is 10 years after that book, has changed.
My autobiographical essay book, Istanbul, is about the old black and white melancholic Istanbul. Even when I published this in 1973, young generation of Turkish said, we are not that sad and we are not that melancholic. We are living in a richer, colorful, more complex and more crowded Istanbul. I agree. Cities don't have essential qualities except geographical ones. What will not change about Istanbul is Bosphorus, its breeze, the vitality and freshness it brings to town. Today, Istanbul is not a melancholic town of 1950s and 60s that I described lovingly with nostalgic attention in my Istanbul. Hüzün, Turkish melancholy, is not that dominant anymore, because the economical boom in the last 15 years changed all of our perceptions about life, the city, our place in the world, whether we are provincials at the edge of Europe or an important nation in the family of nations, and so forth and so on. All these problems also and change in perception of our identities went into making of Strangeness in My Mind.
Do you feel a little bit disconnected from the Istanbul today? Because I grew up in New York, and when I go back there, I feel a little bit disconnected with the city that exists now.
Good question. I am worried about feeling disconnected, and I'm working harder. I am driving around, going to places with my bodyguard and my girlfriend. Every Sunday, we go to a different quarter of Istanbul and walk, and try to get attached. I have a huge Istanbul library at home. I have a huge collection of Istanbul photos. I am now in an organized and determined way to get along with the immense change and growth and never give it up and pursue the change and try to chronicle it. The change in spirit, mental attitude, perceptions of the people of Istanbul.
There was just an election in Turkey, and the Social Conservative Party won a majority. In most American cities, the cities themselves tend to be more liberal, and the rural areas tend to be very conservative. Is that the case in Turkey, or is it
a case in Western Turkey where there's a lot of tourism? But Istanbul represents the whole Turkey. Istanbul is still taking immigration from rural Anatolia. So, more or less, the vote that represents Turkey is also represented in Istanbul. In that sense, Istanbul, because it has modern life, because it has artistic, cultural, secular life, is in many ways modern and global than the rest of Turkey. But the votes in Istanbul, on the other hand, represent the peripheries, the non-touristic areas, the immense population of the dispossessed, who are unfortunately still voting for political Islam, are also part of Istanbul, and I'm determined to write about, explore, go in, visit, immerse myself in.
We know that Istanbul has changed so much. When you go into the rest of Turkey, are you going back in time to the 50s, or is that...
No. In order to write my novel, Snow, I deliberately went back in time to one of the most, at that time, backward and politically and economically parts of Turkey, northern eastern small town of Kars. But I never thought that I'm going backward in time, that would be a wrong word to start. That would be an ideological word. Even if I go to a part of Turkey that is considered by, quote, the moderns backward, I would never tell myself that it's backward. It's my duty as a novelist to identify with a place. But if you begin calling it backward, you can never identify and see the world through the people who live there.
You made mention before of a bodyguard. You need a bodyguard?
I used to have 3 bodyguards in worse times. Now I have 1. Free speech is developing and progressing in Turkey. I still have a bodyguard in Turkey, but I am not at the center of political fights.
You've pulled back and moved more into a literary sphere.
I didn't pull back, but then I'm not in the stage of political fight, you know.
If you're teaching in New York, how much time do you actually spend in Istanbul?
I teach 1 semester at Columbia University, and then probably 9 months, 8 months, I am in Istanbul with my bodyguard. I used to have 3 bodyguards, but I have now 1 bodyguard. I am not complaining about this change.
Even though the Conservative Party has taken over, do you still see further free speech coming? Do you see any more repression?
I see troubled time ahead of us. I'm sorry that the government's project of making peace with the Kurds and giving them some rights failed. I'm worried about the country's future in that sense, but we will see. I will continue to write my stories. Don't worry about that.
Orhan Pamuk, now that you've finished A Strangeness in My Mind, have you begun working on another novel?
Yes, I have begun working on a novel. I am writing a novel of ideas about a Weldiger and his apprentice, suggesting issues of fatherhood, father and son, authority and individuality, control and liberation. These are sometimes contradictory issues in my part of the world, and I'm addressing these strong, dominant philosophical, social themes in a literary way. Issues that are suggestive about the political developments in Turkey as well, but in a more philosophical, anthropological, and of course, story. I do my thinking with stories.
And Innocence of Memory is a film?
Is a film based on my Museum of Innocence, the museum part and the novel part. I wrote a novel called Museum of Innocence. It's a love novel. But I also opened in 2012 a small museum in Istanbul where all the objects that the characters, imaginary characters in that book touched. Innocence of Memories is a newly released film about the museum, the novel, and in fact more about my work and Istanbul.
You've been listening to an interview with Orhan Pamuk, whose latest novel is A Strangeness in My Mind. I'm Richard Walensky on Bookwaves.